Now, I'm delighted to say we are joined on the line by Brezzy, also known as Brian Niall Breslin, who is, of course, the very well-known and famous musician, mental health advocate and podcaster. He is one of the people taking part in the upcoming Ballybunion Arts Festival, which will be getting underway on July 18th. Brezzy, good morning to you, and thank you for joining us this morning.
How's it going? You well?
Tell me about yourself. You'll be in the Tiantán Theatre in Ballybunion on July 19th. What's happening there?
Yeah, so I've been touring the live podcasts, the Where's My Mind podcast. I've done two kind of Irish tours now, another tour in October, and I kind of just wanted to get some arts festivals in the summer because I felt very lonely not doing any shows in the summer. So the lads in Ballybunion reached out and said, would you be up for doing the arts festival with the podcast? And the podcast is actually not what people think, really. It's quite a lot of music. It's got a spoken word monologue. It's not like me sitting on the couch talking for 2 hours. No one needs to hear that.
And you'll be in the good hands of Billy Keane, I understand.
Yes, Billy Keane. I'm absolutely massively, I'm actually quite looking forward to people like Billy, you know, interviewing him about the characters that you would meet in the type of job he does. I'm very interested in the kind of characters, like I spoke to, like even tattoo artists who would work with people, or people who talk to some people all day, every day. The stories that those guys have and how you humanize them and make them quite irreverent and humorous, but also emotive. That's why people like Billy, and Billy's able to, obviously, he's incredibly gifted with words, so it's always good to have storytellers.
Do you think there was a lot of talk in the last number of years about mental health awareness, by people talking about their mental health, particularly men? Do you think that's still very much in the forefront of our national discourse, or do you think maybe it's slipped a bit?
No, the conversation hasn't slipped. I think, you know, an awful lot of my focus now, even in my own kind of PhD research, is I've shifted my focus to the systems of support now, and I don't need to tell anyone in Kerry, especially who've gone through the CAM systems, how dysfunctional they actually are.
This is the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services.
Yeah, you know, and the Maskey report from Kerry was actually the catalyst for my PhD research. I kind of, at that point, couldn't understand how we're actually tolerating this, and I've actually spoke to Davin Godfrey, who's an incredible human being, unbelievable man, Kerry man, obviously, and I had him down on the stool, and he's just an unbelievable orator. Like, he's intelligent, he's witty, he's charming, he is all of the above. And I think he's a brilliant person to have as a spokesperson to say that this is not how we should be running systems. So I think the national discourse is incredible. I think society, communities, the GAA, I think everybody is stepping up, except those that govern us, to develop better systems. And I think that's difficult work. It's work that I didn't really feel I would be doing 20 years ago, but it's where it's brought me now. And I think it's really important that now is the time to do it, especially after COVID, because we see so much overwhelm in young people. So now is the time to actually push for systems and more effective systems of support for them.
And what is your idea of an effective system that will support people dealing with mental health challenges?
See, the thing is, there's two things I believe. I believe Ireland can be world leaders at this. That's fundamentally, I believe that we're a population of 5 million, the size of Manchester, population-wise. We're internationally respected, we're wealthy, we're relatively politically stable. We could be the case study, and the case study for me starts with early prevention. So you develop proper, like, evidence-based early prevention methods within education, and then early prevention or early intervention if people are overwhelmed, or young people are overwhelmed, but creating multidisciplinary community-based supports for them. They're not traveling halfway across the world. You know, in some cases in the Maskey reports, you had children in Kerry being put on medication by psychiatrists in Dubai over Zoom, unmonitored. It's just so dysfunctional. So this isn't rocket science. It doesn't require huge kind of like life-changing, different approach. It's about approaching what has already been suggested by the policies that have been written. They just haven't been implemented. So Simon Harris said it last week, and I celebrated. He said he wants to make Ireland the best country in the world for young people, but he has a job in his hands because we're starting from a bar that we have to do better by. So I'm not negative, and I am certainly not throwing stones at the problem. It's now the time to actually to support the families. And a lot of the families that I will work with and talk with they use the same word for vulnerable children that they have to fight. You should not have to fight for care of vulnerable children in one of the wealthiest countries in Europe. Something's gone wrong if you have to do that. So, yeah, I have so much empathy for those families, and I don't have children. I don't know how I'd cope with that if my child was in need and I couldn't get care for them. So that's why we do this work.
And could I ask you then, Brezzy, in your work, in your research, in your podcast, does it come up about social media abuse? Because it's come up a lot lately, particularly of abuse of politicians, but this is something that impacts many, many people. Do you think, in the whole discourse about making sure that people are comfortable to talk about how they feel, particularly when they're feeling vulnerable, do you think that the great work done by people like you is negated then by some people on social media who will deride someone as a snowflake, or they'll abuse them as a weakling if they talk about feeling vulnerable?
Yeah, I think the one that I find kind of amusing is friends of mine are even older than me, you know, saying things like, in my day. I wouldn't use our day as a good metric for how we approach emotional well-being. You know, we just repressed it and we internalized it and we outdrank it. And we now have a generation that are approaching this and trying to find ways to express what's going on for them. And yes, sometimes on social media you can see where the thing I do worry about is we take normal human distress, stuff we all experience, like, you know, stress, overwhelm, financial issues, grief, and we pathologize that. We put a mental health medical label on that. And that's not a medical situation. That's a life situation. And I think we have to be careful where we go with that. But on the abuse side of things, you know, I think we fundamentally get very skewed between free speech and hate speech. And I'm a massive advocate of free speech, but it's not, you know, if you're abusing people and making stuff up about them and throwing that, it's not free speech. That's abuse. And the biggest problem you have with social media, when you pull the thread in it, is we can't regulate the social media companies. Irish people certainly can't, because they're such a huge employer here. They contribute massively to our economic systems, which seems to be much of what mostly our government care about, is economic metrics all the time. So you can't regulate them. And when you try, they just change the rules. So that's where we got to start. And Jonathan Haidt in America did an incredible, incredible book around this. Fundamentally, now we know this isn't theory, this isn't, you know, opinion. We know how damaging social media is for young people. So we now have to act upon that. And I worry about our current teenagers, because unfortunately they've been almost like the guinea pigs for it. They've had full on difficulty abusing it. We now have to intervene for the younger people who are like 4, 5, 6, 7 years of age, and we've got to radically look at this, and we've got to do it fast and dynamically. And we know that, as I said, the evidence, the literature, everything is pointing towards that. So if our government don't take action, it is the duty of care towards children is not being focused upon. And we're focusing too much on how do we make Ireland really wealthy, which is generally what our government have tried to do, and done well. Don't get me wrong, we've come a long way, but in that drive for wealth and money and stability as an economy, we have fundamental social problems that we've left behind, and that's what we've got to address now.
So, Brezzy, you'd support the hate speech bill?
I don't know if I think the hate, it's the same thing with the hate speech bill. The devil's in the detail with this stuff, and unfortunately, in some cases, the government, they've left vacuums. They've left too much holes in the information and the communication around it. And we can't do that. The Irish people have to be absolutely fully, fully, fully versed in what it actually is before people say you're either against it. It's the grey area of that, and that's what we want with these types of things. It's extreme. It's either or. Until we know the absolute detail, and let's be clear here, the Irish government have put bills, four before that haven't had that. And they can't expect people to make decisions unless they have full detail. And I think without that context, it's just something that causes division and anger rather than clarity. And that's something I think we've been missing.
Well, Brezzy, thank you so much for joining us. I know you're taking part in the Ballybunion Arts Festival, which gets underway on July 18th and runs until the 21st of July. And you'll be hosting an event on the 19th at the Teen Thorn Theatre. I always find that so hard. When yourself and Billy Keane will be talking about, you know, about mental health issues, but I'm sure there might even be music as well, given your gift as an artist and song and chat. So it looks like an enticing evening.
Yeah, and a lot of fun as well. I think people think, you know, I talk about this intense stuff that we've just talked about there all the time.
Yeah.
That's my research. That's my work. I passionately care about it. But you can't talk about that on the stage. You've got to entertain and have fun and bring a little bit of a reverence to this little piece of meat between our ears and how we can better take care of it in the head melty chaos of the modern world. So it's, you know, that's your job. When you're in a theatre, your job is to entertain. That's what you do. So the show is incredibly entertaining. A lot of music, a lot of fun, a lot of moments where you can be emotive too, but that's life. That's the way life is. It's all those different things.
Well, thank you for joining us, Brezzy. That's Brezzy talking ahead of the Ballybunion Arts Festival, which he's taking part in. It runs from the 18th to the 21st of July. For more information, go to Ballybunion Arts Festival. That's ballybunionartsfestival.ie. And one of the people taking part will be Joe McGill, our own Joe McGill, presenter of the Saturday Supplement. He'll be speaking about the crack he has had about improving his Irish language. And that's one of the events. And lots more events. There's poetry, there's arts trails, there's lots of things going on. Ballybunionartsfestival.ie, ballybunionartsfestival.ie.